Welcome back, everyone, to this 57th episode of Through the Aftermath. I'm your host, Sean, and with me, I have two people, not just me and Jonathan, but two. There's
and
Jonathan.
Not split personality Jonathan, either.
And his other personality, no.
That's right, John and Margaret.
And we have Aiken, who we always talk about on the show, like we talked about last week, I think, and you've written in quite a few times, and I think you did a voicemail once, maybe?
I'm not sure if I ever did. I know I've written in many, many times.
Yeah.
I don't remember a voicemail.
Well, maybe that was my imagination. I don't know. But we met for the first time at Dragon Con earlier this month or last month, whenever that was. And
that was cool. Yeah. Although I had no idea who the Fury Road waste rock rider was when he walked up to me.
Yeah, I scared you a little bit. It's funny, I did that to Tank, too, Jim Dorsey. I walked up to him. And he says, "Ooh, I got to get a picture with you." And he took a picture, and the whole time I'm thinking, "Hey, he doesn't even know who I am." And then I took my helmet off, and he's like, "Oh, it's you." Like, what are you?
it was such an awesome costume, but there was no way to tell who was underneath it.
Yeah, I know. That was the fun part. That's my kind of cosplay, where nobody can see me. I'm, like, hiding. Okay, well, what we're going to talk about this episode is, well, you know, that we have the normal news. A few things have been going on, but also, I wanted to pick your brain on Wasteland Weekend, because that was, 3 weeks ago, something like that?
Three-ish weeks, the end of September.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was pretty recent, and I figured, you know, this was your first one, and there are a lot of people who have gone every single year, and, you know, it's kind of like a big part of their lives, but I wanted to get your view on it, and so we could talk about, what you thought of it as a first-timer, so we'll talk about that a little bit later, but let's get into the news first. Let's touch on that, because there was, of course, I think the big one, there's been a lot of videos and hints and new trailers and stuff coming out for Fallout 4, and you know, that's a pretty big deal. Jonathan, you want to talk about some of the new stuff that since last time?
Oh, yeah, I hadn't heard this. I'm kidding!
It's a game.
I go to church in a Fallout box. I mean, it's, you know, I crawl into it and pray to the almighty, you know, brotherhood there. Yeah. Some old person out there is like, what if there really is a brotherhood?
Well, there's the Brotherhood of Steel.
That's exactly right. I was referring to the one of Steel. Now they're going to think that it's some kind of, like, steel workers union that I'm... Oh, great, now he's got unionized. But, they've been releasing one by one all their special videos. I got to be careful how I word that. What it's been for every special attribute, you know, luck, perception, they've released... much to our delight, a 1950s style Vol-Tec movie, each explaining what they do in the game. So this has been great. It's been fun seeing the tons of trailers pouring out, and also that you guys saw the. Well, this is stupid. Why am I asking you if you saw this? Of course you did. How many times did you see the one the Wanderer trailer? That was kind of a surprise out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love that stuff.
Which one was that? I don't recognize it by name.
That was the... oh, my God. I'm doing the Trekkie thing. All right. Remember in episode 14? No, it was... it's the one where it's the song Wanderer, the 1950s song, and it's got him just walking around. Yeah. It's like a CGI movie. I love that stuff. I hope they do more like they did with Fallout 3 last time, when they had the different black and white commercials and stuff like that, where they had the kid and his father talking about DC. I hope they keep going. I hope it doesn't stop this week with... This week being the last of the special vids, but they've been great. I have to say, I'm excited to see what they keep doing with it.
I can't wait to wear my Pip-Boy with my phone plugged into it while playing the game.
Yeah, it's nice. It's good to actually have this game be such a jump up that it's almost staggering, because we're getting this in like blips here and there, where we're starting to realize, wait, this isn't just another Fallout game. This is like bumping it up to a level that we hadn't even really foreseen, because they've just shoved so much into this game. The only thing I haven't heard yet, and I don't know if they've actually specified, was in actuality how big the world was compared to previous ones. I know they said it was bigger, but I'm curious to see, you know, square miles, if there is such a thing in game, that how they usually do it. I'd be curious to find out how much that would be.
Yeah, but, like how much of Boston it covers, or if it goes past, you know... yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah, it'll be good to know. They did, of course, the PC requirements, which, you know, people, I don't know. I'm one of those where I go, yeah. You know, I mean, it's, you get those PC requirements, people freak out and they go, my God, I don't have that one. And then I am like, you know, it's going to play fine on most of these.
Yeah.
But I think that at this point, though, I think, you know, most computers that are, you know, mid-range will be fine. They did mention that the recommended, which I think shocked a lot of people, was they were saying that, you know, the recommended was a Core i7 and an NVIDIA GTX 780. And I think a lot of the people went, wait, what? But I think it'll, you know, we'll be all right. We'll be, you know, it's going to be fun. I can't wait.
And I think what's cool, too, is I actually planned, I did this for New Vegas. I bought on console and PC, which I know you did that, too, like every single console that mm-hmm. you had. But what's really cool is that there are going to be mods on the console version for the first time.
That is still like sinking in slowly.
I know.
Doing that. I'm completely blown away. It's about time.
Yeah, it's just the Xbox version because they worked with Microsoft and they've said that they're going to work with Sony after the PC release and all that to see about that. But
yeah,
I'm excited.
Yeah, and it's, you know, they also said that they're working on the DLC now, and they, you know, it didn't surprise me at all that they're doing the whole Access Pass thing, which I like better because before it was like you paid for them as you went, or you know, and then but the good thing is we don't have to make like horse armor jokes anymore because, you know, you got the season pass. If you got the horse armor, hey, why not? But you know,
oh,
it's
God, awesome. I remember that.
Oh, that was a bad day. Yeah, I'm sure Pete Hines' Twitter was like was over Twittered.
Yeah,
yeah, but yeah, it sounds like they're actually releasing it. One thing was interesting; they're releasing it. Okay, obviously on November 10th at 12 a.m., but it's on Eastern time in North America, which means, you know, I'm on Mountain time. It'll be 10 o'clock here, and I'm like, ooh, and that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah. I'll be playing it at 9 p.m.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You're on Pacific.
Yep, and I took 2 days off from work.
Nice.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's the only bad thing about being a service manager I'm at is everybody, you know, who works for me is like, we're all going, you can't. And we're like, I'm like, you're fired. So, but it'll be good. I'm, you know, it's one of those where I think I remember when Fallout 3 came out, you know, going to the midnight release back then, you know, by the time you got it installed, got it home, whatever, it was already, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning and you go, I'm tired. Here, it'll be like, everybody's like, you're going to stay up all night, aren't you? And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? Of course I am. Why did you even ask? But if God didn't want that, he wouldn't have invented Red Bull.
That's true.
Even though I have the Pip-Boy edition pre-ordered, I also bought it on Steam so that I can preload it and then play it the second it unlocks rather than wait for the box to arrive.
Yeah, I see. Nice. I would have done that too. And you know what? The Pip-Boy edition, and I have to say, it's hysterical because it's like one of those, like, are you guys getting any more? No, we're not getting more. Okay, there it is. Go, get them. Okay, just kidding. They're gone. I'm like, okay, you know
twice.
What? Twice it's happened. Yeah. And the last time it happened, I actually was ready, and I started to kind of jump and backed up and went, nah, you know what? It's okay. I mean, it was, you know, it would have been great to get it, but the amount of money, especially right now, I'm like, that's all right. I can still get the, you know, Access Pass and all this other stuff, and then, you know, then all I have to do is, like, I think that they said I had to just take 10 lives and then drain their souls, and then I could get one. Oh, wait, I'm not supposed to talk about that. Sorry, that's between me and Pete Hines. No one's going to bother me. Sorry about that. Yep.
Well, you'll still be able to use the companion app on your phone.
Yeah.
You just won't have it in the cool Pip-Boy on your wrist.
Yeah.
Well, and the more you think about it, I mean, it really is, you know, it's fun and all, but it'll be one of those where it would be kind of like a little unwieldy to try to, you know, use the ASDW keys with this thing on your arm. Unless it was an armrest. I mean, that could work. But it'll be so much fun, though. And they're going crazy with the marketing. I mean, they've got today they even showed like the Vault-Tec watch, and it's like full blown, you know, stainless steel, waterproof, and it's got like the one hand, which I thought was hysterical. And that was like, oh, I gotta have that. And then I saw $150 and went, I can't possibly afford that. And then I walked away, and you know, the only Fallout's going to be in my wallet, I think, at the rate they're going. Yeah, it's bad. It's been, God, they've been doing like one thing after another.
And you know, speaking of the app, have you been playing that still?
Yeah, in fact, today they just did. Was it today that they did? They did the Halloween costumes and the new character from Fallout 4.
Yeah, 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 the costumes are funny, and they have decorated rooms and all that stuff. I mean, it's like an MMO. It's like when you know, when they do that on like Halloween stuff. It's but you know, I've been playing that every single day. Like, I'm addicted to that game, and I actually have all my three slots full. I have three vaults going.
Yeah.
And one of them is survival mode, which I don't recommend if you value your sanity. And
oh yeah.
And but I got to the point on my first one where I just maxed out everything. I maxed out all my money and all my people and all my rooms and everything. And it's just like, all I'm doing is training people up to max stats, you know. And I have at least half of them are max stats right now. So then I'm just like, eh, I'm just gonna make a new vault. So I do that, and then I make another new vault. And yeah, but I'm really disappointed that they max out the money at right before a million. You know, 999,000.
You got that high.
Yeah, but it's only because I didn't have anything to spend it on anymore. Because I got all the rooms and all the stuff is all upgraded. And I just kept getting the money, and then it got up to that point, and I was just like, all right, why am I still playing this? I'm going to make a new vault.
You know, if the world ends, you're the overseer. I'm just going to say that now. Because, I mean, if I can't possibly be the overseer, because if I do, all we'll have is a lot of water and everybody will starve. And, you know, and then, although I got to say, that game is absolutely hysterical when you get something ridiculous that happens where you'll have dead bodies everywhere and one of the guys says something like, this is the cleanest vault I've ever seen. And you're like, yeah. God, which one did you just come from?
They're in denial.
Yeah, I'm just like, yeah, I think that's officially, like, I didn't realize they had people, like, psychotic breaking down in the game yet, but it's there. But, Piper, that's the chick's name. Yeah, she shows up in the game and then gives you, like, five free lunch boxes.
Yeah, I think so. I haven't had that happen yet. I'm still waiting.
Yeah, actually, it didn't happen until I just barely jumped back in, and all of a sudden she was there.
That's cool. And they have the mysterious stranger, too.
Yeah, he shows up.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was confused at first. I'm like, who is that mysterious? Oh, duh. Yeah, it was a little embarrassing. Mysterious. Stupid, you know.
Yeah, and then also the Wasteland 2 Director's Cut, right?
Oh my gosh, it's so good. You know, I should let Aiken. You should take this one. Tell us what you think so far.
Well, I'm like 45 or 50 hours into a playthrough on Wasteland 2 that I just started, and then the director's cut drops, and the save games are not compatible.
Oh, I know. That was sad. That was a little ouch.
Yeah, so I haven't actually played the director's cut yet, although I did load it up, and yes, it is beautiful. But I couldn't bring myself to starting the game again, because Fallout 4 is on the horizon, and I want to finish this playthrough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of bad timing. I think.
I wonder if there's a way they could still go back and, like, do a utility that would let you somehow do it. I wonder if they were just pressed for time. But it must be, I know they changed a ton of, like, storyline around and filled in gaps in places that they must have just kind of gone buck wild, and they just can't do that. But I'm just like, oh, that was kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
Huh.
But
well, if they have made story changes, maybe they want you to experience the whole thing from the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there must be enough that changed that you can't just fake through it. It's like, you can't go there yet. You didn't get the rubber nipple clamp and did. Oh, I just said rubber nipple clamp. Sorry. There it is.
Yep. Is this a PG podcast or?
Yeah.
Not now. Not anymore. Yeah. I gotta write that down. Change rating. I think we had to do that last episode too.
Oh, was that my fault too? I shouldn't have said speaking puppet that time. Oh, I said that.
That's like my son, my 2-year-old. He keeps saying, don't say dum-dum. It's a bad word. And I'm like, you just said dum-dum. Well, don't say dum-dum. I'm like, you just said it. Stop saying it. All right. So, yeah, okay. So we've got that covered. And let's go ahead and get into the the main topic here. And I wanted to talk. Originally, I got Aiken on, of course, to talk about Wasteland Weekend. But I think we mentioned this last episode is he and I met, you know, for the first time at Dragon Con, and he was able to go to a lot of the Apocalypse Rising track there, which I think I commented last time, and I said I looked at the schedule, and there was a lot of zombie stuff, and I was like, eh. But the thing about any con, especially Dragon Con, is the panels really, you know, conflict with each other, and it gets to the point where, like, I was joking that everything happens at 1 p.m. You know, there are 40 different panels at 1 p.m., and you want to see all of them, but you can't. So, But Aiken actually was able to go to a lot of these. You said it's your main track, right? pretty much.
Apocalypse Rising is my main track. You know, it's just where I hang out. It's where all the interesting panels are, in my opinion.
What were some of the best ones, you think, this year?
This year they had a really cool series. Did I say really ghoul series?
That was like very feral ghoul of you.
I'm also a wrangler on the Zombie March every year. Oh. So
nice.
If you ever see the Zombie March, I'm usually in my Deputy Rick Grimes costume. So I'm out there trying to herd the zombies over to the zombie prom. It was Friday night this year. Nice. No, the cool panels they had this time around, you know, they always have panels about, you know, various TV shows that are in the genre. Mm-hmm. But I usually try to make the real world, you know, survival skill panels. And this year they had one. It was the Four After series. There was one that's like, okay, 4 hours after the apocalypse. Then the next day they had 4 days after. And then they had 4 weeks after. And then 4 months after. And it was really interesting. And I'm going to draw a blank because you're going to ask for specifics. And I'm going to go, but they were really cool.
So here's where I'm going to ask for specifics. So is it like a, like what would you do where the whole group participates? Or is it just the panelists talking about it?
It's mainly the panelists and about, you know, typical con panel, you know, maybe half of the hour is the panelists talking, and then half an hour of questions.
Okay, yeah.
And I wish I had pre-planned this because there were handouts and you know, things that had a lot of really good information, you know, like bug-out bag information and stuff for the four-hour after panel. And if I had thought to pull that out, I could have consulted it.
Well, so it's like an instructional thing, or is it like just...
Yeah, it was a lot of instructional. And then, of course, you know, in the 4 weeks and 4 months, it got into... you know, hypotheticals, you know, well, if this is happening, you know, after 4 months after, you know, the recovery started from whatever it was, unless it was truly, you know, a planet killer type of event. And, you know, they're talking about, you know, how communities will have formed by then, unless it truly just degenerates into, you know, Mad Max.
Yeah. Which we're hoping for, right?
Yeah. I'm pulling for that side.
I mean, I've already got my, you know, my costumes ready. I'm ready. I'm just...
It's funny, every time I hear somebody say con panel, I want to start laughing because I picture Ricardo Montalban up there at a table going, like, I've done far worse than kill you. I'm like, oh, you know, I would watch that. Con!
Yeah, that's a different con.
There's a skit there somewhere. I'll have to write that one down.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, though. I went to Apocalypse Rising tracks, I think it was 2 years ago, and I really enjoyed them. It's like you said, there was one that was about, it was kind of like a hypothetical like that. It was like, what would you do if this, and I think Jonathan and I, we had a episode quite a few years ago about, like, where, remember, I think Rob was on, and we were talking about what we would do if we were in certain situations and the world ended.
Yeah, the zombie apocalypse one, that was actually one of our first couple that was on.
Yeah, and that was a lot of fun, and it was good. And that they had something similar to that. It was like, what would you do? And they were asking the audience, you know, and it got to a little kind of off topic. I think people were talking about TV shows and things like that. But I really like that kind of stuff. It's a lot of fun because it's, you know, I mean, you can, like, talk to your friends online about this stuff, but it's a lot different when you're kind of right there with these people, you know, talking to them face-to-face. I thought it was a lot of fun. And they also have, like you said, they have the panels with the, you know, like Defiance. They have like the, you know, a couple stars from there, and they'll talk about the show. They had the 100. Didn't they have that?
I think they had quite a bit about the 100 this year, which I actually had not even heard about at the time.
Oh, okay.
I've looked it up since then, and I might try to start watching them at some point.
Yeah, it's a pretty good show. It's like one of my wife's favorite shows ever.
It's like a show about the only people who got to reserve the Pip-Boy edition of Fallout 4. Funny enough, I actually have not heard of this show either, but I've been slapping myself in the head because there's all these post-apocalyptic shows that popped out of the woodwork that I'm like, wait, how did I miss this? Like, you know, like The Strain and 100 and stuff. I'm like, wait, what? So, yeah.
The coolest thing about The 100, I'll give you a brief synopsis of this. It's basically they're on the ship in the middle of space, and they want to... They come upon a planet. Well, the Earth ended, all this stuff, and they kind of escaped on the ship, right? And it's the next generation of people living on this ship, and they want to... they see a planet that might be inhabitable, so they send 100 people down to check it out. And it's all the young people, because they figure you know, they'll be able to survive. They'll have a better chance of survival than us old people, you know, the original people on the ship. So they send these 100 down there, and they're all like teenagers, things like that. And it really is kind of like first for a while, it's very much like teen angst, and you know, like this girl likes this guy, and it's like really like it just kind of turned me off at first, but then it got really good, and they had these people on the planet, they're called the Grounders, and they were basically there before, because another ship landed there, and it's kind of hard to explain. It's like this big weird time thing, but and they turned into like pretty much Mad Max people. So when these nice clean Star Trek uniform looking people land on this planet with all these Mad Max looking people, it's interesting.
Oh, no, I'm that. Intrigued. I have to say, it sounds intriguing.
It's kind of cool, yeah.
Huh.
Highly recommended. But they had them. A lot of those stars were at Dragon Con, and that's always a fun part of Dragon Con is the stars. It's never the stars. It's like the next level of stars. It's like the B level stars.
Yeah.
Although I did see Princess Leia there one time, which was amazing.
They get big names there. They're just not on the panels. They're doing pictures and autographs.
And if they are on a panel, it's one of the ones in like an auditorium where there are 500 people in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, yeah, I think Dragon Con, it's not really, you know, it's more informational. It's more, you know, you go there to see either the stars or you see information about, you know, the Apocalypse Rising stuff like you're talking about. But Wasteland Weekend, that's the big one. That's, you know, we had Jim Dorsey on here before where he talked a little bit about it, and I'd like to eventually get Jared Butler on here. He's the guy who coordinates everything.
Yeah, I've met him several times.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He actually does a podcast himself, so he's kind of...
Does he?
Yeah, he I think it's called Drinking and Thinking.
Huh.
I think Drinking and Thinking, maybe. I don't know. But it's a like a, you know, conversational podcast. But yeah, he said that he'll be on one, or he'll try to be on at some point, but he's just really, really busy right now, you know, post Wasteland Weekend. I figured, you know, it'd be cool to kind of get your opinion on it, because I was going to go. I was so close. I had everything reserved, and it just, it's so depressing to think that I was so close that I didn't get to go. I mean, we actually were making plans to drive in together if I was going to fly to LAX. Originally, we were going to do
that. You were almost to the point of actually going.
Oh, I had everything. I had my, I had my, plane tickets. I had my car rental rented. Oh. All that stuff.
Life happens, unfortunately.
Yeah. It's not. I mean, I got most of that stuff refunded anyway, so it's not that huge a deal. It's just,
well, that's
the thing that gets me is the whole, like, man, I wanted this. There are so many people that I see at Dragon Con, like Jim Dorsey and even Jared and a couple other people, Dave Giovanni, and, you know, really good people. You know, great people that I see at Dragon Con, and I wanted to see them in their own, in kind of like a heightened element, which is Wasteland Weekend. You know, it's kind of like I see them at Dragon Con, but then at Wasteland, they're like, bam, that's their element.
Well, yeah, because they act different there. Because, I mean, if you think about it, like if Dragon Con is your school's like school fair, that the one, the other Wasteland Weekend is more like your Uncle Frank's crazy friends in the backyard, like, we ain't got no rules, coming to our place. And that's the thing, is they don't have anything holding them back, and they're like, hey, let's just do our thing. And it's amazing how into it some of these people are, and the level to take it to. And yet it's not insane. It's not like you really are hanging out with, you know, raiders. They just love this stuff. And
well, see, that's fun. My thing too is it's like I am into this that much, but I can't prove it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I had to prove it.
It hasn't killed yet, and it just doesn't.
Yeah.
Right, you know?
I want to kill. Wait, no. That's, no, but it's like, I feel like they're not taking me seriously. It's like high school again or something, you know? I'm there.
Yeah.
They're not taking me seriously unless I go to Wasteland Weekend. But anyway.
The blood on your armor isn't real. It's like, that's paint. You gotta come back when it's actual people. Like,
no,
whoa,
I've killed people. I swear.
Is this a thing? I didn't realize.
Accept me.
Yeah, you didn't read.
You're just a poser.
I know. Yeah, exactly. So I mean, you went there, and you live pretty close. What was it, like 2 hours away?
Closer to three. I live in, you know, down in Los Angeles-ish areas. That's a 2.5-3 hour drive, and then of course there was the huge line to get in of all the cars parked up.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, so why don't you just we just start like at the beginning and kind of describe, you know, getting there and everything and how that went.
Okay. Well,
not
drove
like when
up
you
there.
Got dressed and everything, you know.
So I woke at, you know, 7 a.m. and couldn't decide if I wanted to take a shower first. Or, okay, no, wait.
No showers at Wasteland.
I was rushing through tons of cops, and
no, definitely no showers at Wasteland. Although there were people who brought those camp showers, I was actually pretty jealous. Wasteland weekend. Yeah, no, there was a big line of cars to get in when I finally drove up there, and it is in the wastes. There, you know, California City sounds grand, but no, there's nothing. It's out in the desert, and you know, there's a big line of cars to get in. You know, we had a line party basically where we were all stopping and hanging out. You know, the thing I was really worried about is sometimes I don't always get along so well with crowds, but it depends on the nature of the crowd. And these guys were all cool, so I didn't really have any problems. excuse me. Which always amazes people who know me from work, and they say, "What? You can't be shy. What are you talking about?" It's like, yeah. You know, it's, I hide behind the costume I wear when I'm on the clock, let's just say.
Yeah.
But no, they worked. Yeah, they worked the line pretty well. They were actually guys going up and down the line, giving us updates and everything. And we got in. You know, I didn't really have a tribe, which you have a lot more fun if you have a tribe. Mm-hmm. I brought my Main Force Patrol costume from the original Mad Max, and there had been a group of us that had been talking about it. We didn't really do a whole lot, but those guys did let me into their camp anyways. So that was pretty cool. Yeah, so you know, I didn't have to camp with in the lone wolf section, so that was pretty cool. It was the zombie patrol guys that I camped with. They're working on, you know, they've got VW bugs that say zombie patrol, and one of them's got a 50 caliber machine gun on it. You know?
Oh yeah, I think I've seen that. Yeah, those are sharp.
There, I had to figure out how to mute while I was coughing.
I'm like, I think he died.
He was cut off in mid-voice. Mid-word. What did I say? Mid-voice?
Everybody falls for it because they think it's a drill. Wait, this is real. Oh, no.
That's it. You see a realistic, you know, zombie march. How do you know it's not an actual zombie?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Somebody out there is like, that's it.
We were talking on Facebook not long ago. There was a girl who called 911 when she saw a zombie march. And everybody was saying, oh, what a moron. But I'm like, okay, what if it was a real zombie outbreak?
Yeah,
and nobody bothered to call except for one person. You know, this person could have been a hero. And then people talked about, well, there were SpongeBob SquarePants zombies and stuff. Like, well, okay, maybe.
Maybe they were cosplayers in their previous life. You never can tell. If we head for Costco, you'll know it's real.
Don't get me started on bugging out to Costco.
Somebody else said that at my work, and I just started laughing. I'm like, I asked them, like, did you listen to the podcast? They're like, what? I'm like, oh, no, never mind. Yeah, I'm like, hey, I'm still sticking to McDonald's, but that, you know, things have changed too there. So one of these days we'll have to update that one.
No, but Wasteland, it was really cool. I don't even know how to begin to describe it, although it was hot. It was hot as hell. They before it even started, they'd already had to medevac several people.
Wow.
Apparently a lot of people showed up who weren't paying attention to the fact that it's in the desert, and the desert is very hot, and it's an unforgiving environment. You know, I had more water and Gatorade than I knew what to do with. I brought a lot back with me. But some people apparently, like I say, they were evacuating people before it had even begun.
Wow.
I don't think they had to air evac, but they did have ambulances coming and going.
Yeah.
You know, during the day, it was brutally hot. At night, it was only slightly less brutal, but most of the really cool, you know, it seems like most people sleep until noon, and then people wake up and start moving around, but you don't get into your full-on costumes until the sun's going down. At least that's just the impression I got.
Jeez. I'm the opposite. I wake up at like 5, and I would just be like, all right, guys, I'm ready. And they'd be like,
Actually, that's not true. You can't sleep until noon, because once the sun hits your tent, it became unbearable inside.
Oh, yeah.
So, no, I actually did get out. That was around 10 a.m. for me, I think, where I was camping. Hmm. So, yeah, fortunately, the camp I was sharing, they had huge shade structures. So, yeah, we were able to at least lounge in slight comfort.
Yeah.
Next year, I may actually bring a freaking fan. If I can find a battery-powered fan, you know, a good-sized one, I might bring it. But, yeah, Friday and Saturday, both days, I got into costume. And good God, when the sun's up and it's 100 and something and you're wearing a leather jacket and leather pants, God, that was brutal.
I bet.
There were a couple other people in their MFP leathers, but we never had a chance to get together. It was funny, on the MFP page on Facebook, I don't know if it was Jared, but somebody actually called me out for being one of the few people brave enough to wear it. And I said I was stupid enough to wear it. That was brutal.
I was worried that if I would have brought my Rock Rider costume, I would have just died.
Would not have been comfortable.
Yeah.
I don't know how that compares to leather, but you would have been suffering at least as bad as I was.
Well, there's suede in that costume. There's leather and suede and layers and layers and layers. So, yeah, it would have been not fun.
Yeah, you would have been having the same kind of problems.
But that's the thing, right? I mean, you have to be in costume to go there. I mean, they actually kick people out if they try to come in.
You have
to
have some sort of costume, yeah. You know, I was wearing generic post-apocalyptic stuff. You know, people called it lamer costumes, but for most of the time, I was not wearing my leathers. And it was funny, actually. Not only were people turned away for not having costumes, apparently one of the reasons it took so long at check-in with the long line of vehicles is they were having to search trunks and everything. There literally were people hiding in trunks.
Oh, wow.
Trying to get smuggled in.
Huh.
Which I thought was funny as hell. But yeah, apparently it's so popular now that people are trying to, you know, they don't want to buy passes, which were still available. They just wanted to sneak their way in.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, for 4 days, it's a pretty reasonable price.
Yeah, I mean, it was, well, I think at the door it was like 110 or something like that.
I believe something like that. Yeah, I forget offhand. It was hard to describe, though. I met Jim the Tank Dorsey at Dragon Con. Finally, we had been talking on Facebook for a while. I finally met him at Dragon Con. At the same photo shoot for Fury Road that I met you.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he's all over the place at Wasteland. I actually missed the opening ceremony, which reminds me, I haven't looked it up on YouTube yet. I'm going to have to, because I don't know what they did last year. You've probably seen the opening ceremony from the year before.
Oh, yeah. Last year was, actually, when we did the episode with him, I played that.
Oh, that's right, you
the
did.
The intro, yeah. And this year, what I hear, I haven't seen it either, but I hear that he kind of shared the stage with the Morton Joe and the War Boys.
So cool.
It was kind of like a back and forth, I think.
You know, there weren't nearly as many War Boys there as I thought there would be. I thought they would be everywhere, screaming, "Witness me," constantly.
Yeah, I would figure that too.
There were War Boys. I just thought there'd be hordes of them.
Yeah. Huh. It seems like a perfect costume for the desert and the heat. And
It is. Yeah, pants with no shirt.
Yeah. Some white.
Then again, you probably they were getting baked in the sun.
Yeah.
That's true. They could have all died. They may have all they all went to Valhalla.
The white paint could have just been like layers of SPF 50 or something.
That could be. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
It was cool, though. Bartertown, once you get inside the gates, oh, my God, it was just like walking into a movie.
That's cool. I've seen a lot of the videos. I know they did some drone video and some other video. Like that'd be the thing that I would be the most interested in, because I guess to explain a little bit, they have this Wasteland City is it completely enclosed, right? It's
there is a fence around the entire area, including camping, but then the actual Bartertown Wasteland City, it's not completely enclosed, but there is a wall between it and the camp area.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because there's a camp area, there's the Bartertown area where vendors actually are set up to trade.
Yeah, there are vendors all over the place, and the elite guards the gates. That's where they have the flamethrowers and stuff. They kind of reproduce the compound from the Road Warrior. Uh-huh. Although the elite guard was from Mad Max.
Yeah.
Thunderdome, exactly. Thunderdome was there.
That's right. They brought a Thunderdome.
Yeah, they set up Thunderdome. Although the rule is two men enter, two men leave, which I thought was kind of, it's like, wait, what? Come on.
Yeah.
Okay, we can't really kill people, I guess. But
I saw some videos of that. That looked pretty brutal. Those guys are hitting each other pretty hard, it looked like.
That and the gladiatorial combat.
Oh, yeah.
A bunch of SCA guys, I think, was mainly what they were. But yeah, they were there was red. Yeah. If it's red, it's real. And yet, there was red. They were beating the living crap out of each other. Oh, sorry, got to change the rating again.
You know, one of the big things that I think, well, I'm a car guy, so the cars.
Oh my God, the vehicles.
Yeah, I mean, I've been watching videos of, you know, for the last few years of Wasteland, and they always have that parade, and it seems like it started out with maybe a dozen, and then it went to about, you know, 30. It looks like this year there were probably, I don't know, 100?
There were, I want to say, more than 50. I don't know if there were 100, but there were a lot of themed vehicles. You know, some of them were, you've got things all the way from, like, the Humongous Machine, which is completely custom-built.
Yeah.
Then you've got all the way down to, like, there was one guy who had a pickup truck, and he had cardboard stuff taped onto it. So it looked, you know, it looked half decent, actually, until you looked really close.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard of Ron. He runs a auto shop up in California City.
Yeah.
He had so many vehicles there. Ron's a really great guy, too. He suffered a heart attack right after Wasteland.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And fortunately, he just announced today he does not need a second surgery, which is good. Mm. But yeah, no, Ron's a great guy, and then he's just had so much crap's fallen on him since then, and he was having trouble with his business. A bunch of people, you know, we actually tossed him some money to help him out right now, because, you know, how can he work when he's freaking having a heart, you know, recovering from a heart attack?
Yeah.
You know, the vehicle parade was just awesome. And, you know, there were a couple of, you know, V8 Interceptors, so I don't know which one was the last. the last of the V8s. There's at least two of them. What the hell?
It's the second to last.
Oh, my God. Got to be a skit. The second to the last of the V8s.
Are you writing all this down?
Oh, my God. That's a good one.
That is a good
last one. Last of the V8 Interceptors, eh? There's one over here, too.
Yeah, hey guys. Second to last V8.
Hey guys, I'm the second to last.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
There was one guy, I think he was from New Jersey. He had an MFP Interceptor, but it was a marked unit, like from the first movie. I think it was a 73 Camaro that was painted up like MFP patrol unit, and, you know, with the yellow and blue paint and the light bar and everything, and that was really cool.
Yeah, I think I've seen pictures of that one. Yeah, that's really nice. My very first car when I was 16 was a 72 Camaro. So those that style always holds a special place in my heart.
If you saved it, you could have turned it into a theme vehicle.
Yeah, exactly. It's if I would have known.
It was the parade was awesome, though. You know, they had, so I can't even begin to describe all the vehicles. Quite a few of them were Warboy vehicles, complete with Thundersticks and stuff.
Yeah. That's cool.
And then, you know, a lot of them were just generic Wasteland-ish vehicles. Oh, there was a Nuka-Cola delivery truck.
Oh,
not
yeah.
A van.
Yeah.
It was a van, actually, not a real truck. And then there was one that was saying, free candy, and there were prisoners inside screaming, save us, they don't really have candy, help us. Jeez, I don't even know. You know, there's so many things in Wasteland City, aside from, you know, vendors where you can buy things. You know, there's the casino, the Atomic Cafe opens up after the sun goes down.
Yeah.
Cool. There's so much to see and do.
See, my ideal thing is, I wasn't going to do it this year, but I would like to take my car. I have a car I'm building, like a post-apocalyptic Mad Max car, and I want to bring that out there, but man, driving, it's about a 30-hour drive from where I'm at.
Ooh.
And
yikes.
And that with, because then I would have to bring a truck with a trailer with the car on the back, and it, well, that would be expensive. So I don't know, I might still do it. It's kind of a goal.
Set up a GoFundMe.
Oh yeah,
help me to get my car to Wasteland.
Yeah, I don't know, it's definitely a goal.
Speaking of Wasteland, what is it? Is it Exile Entertainment, I think, that does Wasteland and Wasteland 2, the computer game? In Exile. They had a costume contest for the best Desert Ranger.
Oh, I heard about that. How did that go?
It was pretty freaking cool. I've got a lot of pictures, although most of the pictures I haven't actually posted yet. I think first place got like $500 cash.
Was Brian Fargo there? Do you know?
I don't believe it was Brian Fargo, and if he was there, I've only met him once, and it was back when during the Fallout 2 launch party, way back when. And I wouldn't recognize him again.
He hasn't changed. He looks exactly... he looks like he did in 1988.
He really does.
He doesn't.
The guy
age.
Does not age. Yeah, he does not age.
Yeah, they had that Fallout 2 launch party, and it was down in Orange County, and it's like, since then, yeah, I don't even know if I met him at that party. Mm-hmm. It was pretty cool, though.
Yeah, I don't think he went to Wasteland Weekend. I saw he was posting a lot about it, and I was, when I saw that costume contest, I was like, I mean, it was too late to make a costume at that point, but man, that would have been really cool to do.
One of the Desert Rangers, I think, was it the guy that won? Well, don't quote me on this, but he incorporated into his costume a whole lot of belted M60 machine gun ammunition. Between his heavy leathers and then wearing all this, you know, dummy ammo, but still it's metal and it's heavy, draped all over him, that guy had to have been dying from the heat.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Dedication, right?
What else was there? There was the swimsuit contest, of course, and the wet swimsuit contest. I don't know if you guys heard about the Valdez Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was the actual filming prop from Waterworld of the Exxon Valdez, which was far larger than I ever imagined it would have been.
Wow.
Didn't they do a GoFundMe to get that out there?
Yeah, they needed a bunch of money. I actually gave them quite a bit. I had top deck privileges, but I never actually got around to doing it.
Oh, man.
During the contest, because I gave them so much money. But yeah, they took the filming prop and cut it into two pieces so it was more manageable. And they incorporated that into their camp inside Wasteland City. And that's where they had the contest and everything. And it was really cool.
That's amazing. How big would you say that the Wasteland City is itself? I mean, is it...
It's pretty like big.
A mile or...
No, I don't think that, but...
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm not even going to say anything because I suck at estimating distances. there were a lot of people, though.
Yeah.
I know. I think last year they had 2,500 people. I haven't heard what the numbers were this year, but everyone was saying there was more crowded than last year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, after Fury Road, I think everybody wanted to go. I think I heard estimates that were saying close to 4,000, but I don't know. I don't know if that was official.
Yeah, I would not doubt it in the slightest.
Yeah.
It was crowded. What else was there that was really cool? Well, kind of on a somber note, there is a memorial service, obviously, for Lance.
Yeah.
There were a couple other people that had passed away as well. So that was, it's not cool that they had it. I mean, that they had to do it, but it was nice that they did it.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw, there were a couple picture frames for Lance that I made. That was kind of like my contribution. And I thought I was going to, be able to be there with them. But there was a wooden frame I made, and it had his picture in it. And then there were a couple plastic ones that I made to look like they were welded metal, and but they were on his memorial right there. So that was kind of my.
Was it the memorial at Jim's camp or?
Yeah.
There. Oh, okay. Because yeah, they had something set up as well. Jim's camp was kind of cool. Or it's. I think he might have. I don't know where he stayed, but it's the Dogs of War camp is where they parked the humongous machine and a couple other vehicles from the Road Warrior, and they had a sign like the Monday Lookout, which from the Road Warrior. And he had all kinds of screen-accurate props and reproductions. And, he had his Road Warrior or Lord Humongous 44 Magnum case and everything. Nice. So he had a lot of stuff there. And then he also had the memorial area. Mm-hmm. Like I say, Lance wasn't the only one who passed away. My friend Jessica, her tribe. Oh, my God, she's going to hit me because I forget her name who passed away. But, yeah, there were several people, mentioned in the memorial.
Yeah, I saw some of the pictures from that. I was actually surprised to find that there were so many just in the last year, right?
Yeah, since the last Wasteland.
Yeah, that's crazy. Huh. Well, so, okay, would you say... Well, first of all, are you going back next year?
Oh, definitely. I'm already working on costumes and stuff.
Yeah, so it's totally worth it, right?
Oh, definitely. I'll still bring my MFP leathers, but... I don't know how often I'll wear them.
Well, like with the weather, I heard that the year before it was actually cold. Like at night it was just freezing, and so everybody's saying this year bring warm clothes, and then it turns out being insanely hot.
I've heard the exact same thing, yep.
Yeah, yeah. So you never know.
Like Jim told me he never put on his leathers, his MFP leathers, because it was too freaking hot. But he said the year before, he needed his leathers because it was so cold.
Yeah, yeah.
So his Lord Humongous costume was the kind of thing you want to be wearing.
Yeah. Yeah, because I noticed the year before he had a fur thing over him to kind of keep him warm.
Mm-hmm. I've seen those pictures too. He did not need that this year.
Yeah, didn't need it this year.
That'd have been a great picture. Somebody got a picture of like Lord Humongous hunched over fire, like, oh, it's cold. Don't walk away. I would have. That would have been a great one. I'm writing that down.
Stand there. Block the wind. Don't walk away.
I'm putting that near the top of the list, next to the Harry Potter Mad Max Wingardium Furiosa. You know, but that's another story.
I bet there were a lot of Furiosas.
That's true.
I only saw one Furiosa at Wasteland. There could have been more, but I only saw one. Hey, at Dragon Con, did you see the one Furiosa who had the actual prosthetic for her arm?
That was awesome.
She was all over. She was
an actual amputee below the elbow.
Yeah. She was on CNN and all kinds of stuff after that.
Oh, okay. That's awesome. Yeah, I met her there. It was freaking cool.
It's like, wigged my son out, though. My son was like, did she really cut off her arm for the sake of that show? I'm like, yes, she did.
You're like, son, sometimes you have to do things that...
If you're a true fan...
It's time for you to know the truth.
No, it's like, I'm sorry you lost your arm, but that's so freaking cool.
It's like she was made to be that, because it was the same arm and the same spot and everything. It's crazy.
Yep.
That was perfect.
Yeah, that was neat.
But no, I didn't see any Immortan Joes, and I only saw the one Furiosa at Wasteland. From what I understand, there were at least two Immortan Joes, though. I just didn't encounter them.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know a lot of people brought several costumes and, you know, changed.
Oh, yeah, most people did.
Because if you can't shower for 4 days, you might as well just change your costume.
Yeah, that's
true. Often.
Yep. Yeah. I swear next year I might just rent an RV.
Yeah. So they did have, like, RV parking, right? Like, off-site?
There was a huge RV section.
Yeah.
And those guys were running their generators, and they had their AC going, and we all hated them. And we all wanted to be them.
Those part-timers.
They've got the AC.
Yeah. I don't know if I would go that far, but I would. That would be kind of fun, going in an RV. Just to go across country in the RV, I think, probably.
That might be. Yeah, I love road trips. I've only done halfway across the country so far. I'd like to do a whole thing one day.
I know that there are people that come from Jersey, and they drive all the way through. And I know that they kind of pick up people along the way, or at least, you know, make a convoy with other vehicles. That would be fun.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Are you going to Vegas?
Are you going to Vegas or to Denver?
Yeah, look,
Mother Abigail.
That would be the guy who'd confuse him. Actually, I'm going to Branson, Missouri. Oh, you didn't have that dream? Oh, never mind then. Yeah, that would just throw him completely off. Like, wait, who's he following?
M O N. That spells Branson, Missouri.
Yeah. Oh man, another one. There, we got to write that one down too.
So many ideas.
Sorry, I had to hit mute again.
That's all right.
That actually would be cool, though, to join the cross-country convoy next year.
Yeah. That would be amazing. You just have to take so much time off because, you know, you can't just be efficient and just, like, be like, I'm not going to go to the bathroom. I'm just going to drive straight through. You know, you'd have to you'd have to make a lot of stops and everything. Because that's the way I am. Like, I just, you know, even with the kids, I'm like, no, nobody goes to the bathroom. Nobody eats. Just keep driving.
Just had a flashback to that Simpsons episode where Grandpa needed to stop and use the bathroom, but Homer wouldn't let him.
Yeah.
Until his kidneys popped or something.
Yep, that's me.
Daddy, please, we're turning yellow.
So cool. That's. I'm glad to hear that you liked it and that, you know, it's something that you definitely would do again. And I'm sure you probably made a lot of friends, right? I mean, they always say that it's like a family when you go out there.
I'll probably be camping with the same group next year, but of course, until it happens, who knows? But yeah, it was really cool. Everybody there was friendly. That was always my thing, too. It's like, oh, you get all these guys wearing leather and swinging axes and stuff, you know. It's like, crap, I'm on vacation, but am I going to have to arrest anybody? You know, it's like, but it's like, no, it was really cool. Everybody there was friendly.
Yeah.
And it was funny as hell. I started talking with some of the California City cops, and I was asking them if they were having any problems. And they were like, well, our biggest problem is that we're working instead of having fun participating.
Yeah. And I heard that they were actually really strict, you know, going back to that costume thing, that there was a film crew. Well, there were film crews from, like, I don't know, like Forbes and I think a lot of the really big outlets, and they made them dress up too. So like even the camera crews and the journalists who were there to cover it, even for like a day, they still had to dress up. I think that's hilarious.
Heard that as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only way to do it, right? Yep. I mean, it would totally ruin it if these guys were walking around, you know, just like in normal clothes, and you're like, oh, ignore them. They're the camera people, you know.
Yeah. Pay no mind.
Yeah.
Pay no attention to the camera people. But no, yeah, no, I'll definitely be going back. I don't know what I'll be doing for costumes. I'll be wearing I will have the leathers again, but I want to bring another kind of costume too, because my non-leather costume was kind of lame. You know, it's like, ooh, a black shirt and camouflage pants. Apparently, I actually fell into... That's a joke. Everyone laughs at you if you do that at Wasteland.
Oh, rookie
it's
mistake.
Like, oh, black shirt, camouflage pants. Ooh, look at me. I'm from the Wastes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another reason I want to drive out there, because I want to take, like, five costumes and, you know, fill up my car with...
You can always ship things to friends who are local if you're going to be flying.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I don't know. We'll see.
I think that's also a service that Ron provides for some people.
Yeah. He was actually going to allow me to ship my stuff out there. We already talked about it.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, so I mean that would have been cool. And that's another thing, you know, you're talking about him. He a lot of the vehicles people don't want to drive back. And yeah, so they'll keep them there at his
he
place.
He stores them for him.
Yeah.
I mean, he charges
amazing.
A pretty damn reasonable fee, too.
Yeah. Because he runs, I think it's Phoenix Auto, I think it's what it's called.
I believe so. We all just call it the Central Garage. But
Yeah, Central Garage is with their logo and all
it's
that.
It's funny, a couple of months ago, my friend Jessica and I, we drove up there to visit Ron and check out all the cars. Mm-hmm. And then we also went out to where Wasteland occurs, which was just a big empty pile of nothing at the time. But yeah, no, Ron's a great guy.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty Wasteland of him to just have a heart attack and then just be like fine the next day.
You're taking aspirin and get back to work.
Yeah.
Well, they just sent the organic mechanic to top him off, and everything was good. Oh, did you see the organic mechanic at Dragon Con?
Yeah, I did, in the photo shoot. Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
I was actually surprised. There were a couple, you know, kind of really obscure characters that were there.
Mm-hmm.
That was really cool. Like I thought I was going to be the only rock rider, and then there was that other guy there, but I figured there would be more, because they played it, you know, a good 5-10 minutes. They played a pretty significant role.
They were significant characters, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just making that costume is a pain in the butt.
There were some buzzards in the parade, buzzard vehicles covered with blades and or spiky points.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. There was one guy who actually was cosplaying Ace from Furiosa's rig, and he had it down pretty damn well.
Oh.
You know, he had done up his face, and he's carrying that sawed-off stubby M79 grenade launcher and everything. That was a pretty good Ace.
Nice.
I forget what vehicle he was on during the parade, though. Oh, God, there were just so many vehicles. And it was funny as hell. There were like half a dozen Scions, those little square cars.
Yeah, I noticed that.
They
What's
were all,
the deal with that?
I don't know. It was hilarious, though. They were all Wastelanded up.
Huh. Yeah, the one I'm building is it's an 83 Mercedes 300 SD, which is a diesel. Because I figure, I'm being practical about it, you know. You can run...
Biodiesel.
Yeah, exactly, biodiesel. So I'm turning it into... I've got a hood stack, you know, the exhaust I took off, and it's going to go through the hood. Straight up like a semi, and I started welding on all this crazy. I mean, I actually should start posting pictures of it on Facebook, but it's pretty scary. But it's a, you know, those are ugly cars to me. An 83 Mercedes. It's just like a family sedan. You know, that's one of the things. It's like a challenge to make that thing look badass, because anybody can turn like a Dodge Charger into a Mad Max vehicle, or, you know, or the actual, you know, the Falcon, change that into, because mm-hmm. that looks cool, and all you do is you throw on some big tires in the back and paint it matte black, and then you've got a Mad
Good
Max
to go.
Car. But nobody would ever suspect a 83 Mercedes-Benz. Right?
Well, that's what, what's his name? People Eater was driving, or was riding around in, wasn't it? Mercedes on an 18-wheeler?
Yeah, they took the top and put it on an 18-wheeler. Yeah, that was pretty cool. And when I saw that, I'm like, oh, man, they stole my idea. But I don't have an 18-wheeler, so...
There was a guy with a Mercedes at Wasteland weekend. He had turned it into a massively jacked up 4x4.
Oh, I heard about that guy. You know what's crazy about that is he named it. I saw it on the Wasteland Central Facebook page. He named it Murdercedes. And I'm like, that's the exact name that I had picked for mine. Like, I thought I invented that name. I'm like, oh, I'm so disappointed. But I mean, there can be more. It's like Last of the V8s. There can be more than one Murdercedes, right?
There you go.
You took your cat too, didn't you? I remember seeing your pics, and we were like, all of a sudden, we were like, dude, cat meat. That would be a great name for a companion character.
No, I did not bring a cat, but there was somebody up there who had a cat.
Oh, that's what it was. Somebody brought their cat with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were a number of dogs, but yeah, one guy brought his little kitten, actually, like 20-week-old kitten that was freaking adorable.
Yeah.
I don't think it was the greatest idea because the weather was brutal on the poor thing, but she came through.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that would be tough.
Sometimes we were spraying her down with water bottles and stuff.
Wow. I'll have to bring some goats. Actually, I have a donkey that would be really good in the desert. I could do that.
It would fit in.
Yeah.
Whatever. Just don't wear a loincloth and nothing else for your costume. For the love of God. Please don't.
It sounds like that's from experience.
Yeah, there were several. It's like, I salute your realism, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how real did it get, though? I mean, were there a lot of people, like, not only just dressed, but acting the part? Just being crazy?
There wasn't a whole lot of... That's what some people were asking beforehand. It's like, are you supposed to stay in character? Yeah. There was very little of that. Okay. I don't actually think I encountered anyone in character.
Or if they did, they could have just been crazy.
Anyway. Oh, it could have been just crazy. Yeah. yeah. It's not a LARP. That's the way I heard it described. It's not a LARP. People aren't in character, and they're not running around doing rock, paper, scissors.
lightning bolt. None of that, right?
Tiger claw. There is no tiger claw. Damn you! Sorry.
That's cool. Yeah, that was something I always wondered about. I mean, I love making costumes, but man, I could never be, you know, a in-character person and do all that stuff. I salute those people who can, but I can't do that.
I'm just not saying there was nothing in character, but I did not encounter it.
Yeah.
Actually, there was rock, paper, scissors. The bounty hunting uses that, now that I remember.
Oh, yeah.
Which I actually did not do. I probably should have.
That sounds interesting. So basically, they put up wanted signs, and then you have to find those people?
Well, I think when you sign up, they assign you a specific person, and they give you a poster. I guess they might have had a printer up there. I don't know. But the posters I saw, they took your picture and put it on, and you had to go collect their ear.
Oh.
If you could find the person, or if someone found you, you know, then you had to fight your way out of it with rock, paper, scissors.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
At least that's my understanding. Like I say, I did not actually do it. That's maybe cool. Next year.
Yeah, I'm sure that's said a lot. You know, there's so much going on. You're like, oh, next year I have to do that.
Oh, undoubtedly. but yeah, it was just a lot of fun. It's hard to describe exactly what you did, but
yeah,
I'll definitely be doing it again.
Cool. Yeah, I really hope I can do it this next year. Definitely. And we got to get Jonathan out there too.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
no,
definitely.
I'm not too far away. I just need to break it out one of these times.
Yeah. That would be epic. And I know that they actually have... I was thinking it would be cool to like record a podcast there, but they have Apocalypse Radio, I think is what they're called.
They do have Wasteland Radio.
Wasteland Radio, yeah.
And yeah, it is an actual radio station. You can pick them up within a couple of miles of of the location.
And they're a tribe, aren't they? Or is it...
Probably. They had an area inside Wasteland City. Yeah. They might be an actual tribe. I'm not sure.
That's so cool. They had the radio, and I heard that they played a lot of like Fallout music.
They do. They played a whole lot of exceptionally loud metal, and they were playing Fallout music. They were playing all kinds of stuff.
That's cool.
I didn't listen to it that much because I didn't have a portable radio with me, so it was only when I was near driving in and driving out, and when I was around other people with radios.
Oh yeah.
That I heard it.
And don't they have live bands there, too?
Oh, my God, yeah. There's so much live music. Well, once the sun goes down, that's when the entertainment begins, really. Yeah. And yeah, Jim Dorsey, he DJs.
Oh yeah,
he had a pretty kick-ass set at, actually, on the first night. I think he did it several times during the event, the weekend. But I know, Thursday he was doing it also. And you know, they've got, you know, flamethrowers on the stage and everything.
Those people who use like grinders on their crotch and like make sparks. I've seen that.
I don't think I noticed that.
You didn't see that? I saw a video from last year. They had this girl with a metal codpiece, and she took a grinder, an electric grinder, and she's just grinding, and the sparks are flying, you know, 10, 15 feet.
Girl, that was the kicker.
Yeah. So then everybody loved it. It's, if it was a guy, I mean, running. I tried it and I got arrested. I don't know.
It's, yeah. That's, well, it's, yeah, there's no, yeah. It's safer for them, you know.
Some of the costumes get pretty interesting. Some of them show a lot of skin.
Yeah.
Next time you talk to Jim, I think his wife actually won the swimsuit costume.
Yeah, I think she did. The what t-shirt contest or something like that.
Yeah, ask her how she won that next time you see her.
Uh-oh. I don't know. I don't know if I want to know.
Yeah, what stays in the wasteland.
Yeah, that's
in the wasteland gets posted on YouTube, actually, but
yeah. Well, that's cool. I'm really excited. I'm glad to hear that you had a good time, because I know that you talked about it a little bit, but I was kind of waiting to hear it on the show, to hear your experiences. But yeah, that, man, I don't want to commit to saying that I'm going to go there next year, because who knows what's going to happen. But
what's that? Definitely. You'll definitely be there?
But I will definitely... Wait, what? No. It's, yeah, if I get it on recording, then I have to do it.
Ought to think about having a Through the Aftermath camp, because I'm sure if both of you guys get there, I'd probably come join you. I'm sure there's others who will join you in the Through the Aftermath camp.
That's true.
That'd be incredible.
Oh, and for the love of God, rent your own porta potty. It's only $80 for the weekend. Those public ones. Ugh.
Yeah, I heard that was kind of,
seriously, people.
Yeah, you get to rent your own, and they give you a key, don't they?
Well, you have to bring your own lock.
Oh, you bring it. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so, yeah, if I'll probably be with Zombie Patrol again next year, and we're definitely going to rent our own porta-potty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine that gets pretty crazy. It's I see they called it Lord Humongous for a reason. Leave the vicinity, walk away, just go, walk away. I'm sorry, man.
Hopefully I get to experience all this next year, but yeah, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I think this is a lot of fun. We'll have to do it again. We'll have to do it again sometime, you know, and talk about other stuff, because you know, I don't know, it's just like Jonathan and I, we don't leave this bunker, you know, so when we hear other people's experiences, you know, it's just
Well, sometimes getting a signal through can be difficult, I guess, like what's happening earlier, but...
That's true.
Well, I don't know if I have a whole lot that's interesting, but sure, if you want me back on, I'd love to.
Cool.
What was my one saying? If you can drive to a store and buy an ice cream, you're not in a post-apocalyptic movie. That's my take on Mad Max, remember? Yeah. It's an apocalypse movie. The apocalypse is ongoing throughout the film. Yeah. Things are breaking down, but it's not post-apocalyptic yet, because they went to the store and bought ice cream.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
There's no ice cream in the apocalypse.
None whatsoever. Of course, by the time Road Warrior came around, yes, it was post-apocalyptic.
That's right. Yeah. Well, the coffin showed up in a train. It's like, there's a train.
Yeah, the trains are still running. Yeah. The courts are still in session.
Yeah.
Lawyers are still getting criminals off. Some things never change.
Yeah.
I'm actually toying with the notion. I want to get to Australia, hopefully next year, and I am definitely going to visit the Mad Max Museum.
Oh, yeah. That would be incredible.
I want to see where it was filmed. I want to drive those roads, you know.
Yeah.
That will be neat when I make it. I don't know if it'll be next year. It might be the year after.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
That'd be amazing. All right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap this one up. Was there anything else, Jonathan, that we need to touch on?
You know, I think we're good. We're
we're a mere 2 weeks away from... Oh, anyway, yeah, I sort of made this like thing in my mind. I'm like, I'm going to do my best not to talk. Oh, it's too late. Never mind. So, yeah.
Can't be unsaid.
That's true.
Let me guess, Fallout 4 is going to be so good.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty good. It's going to be all right.
That'll be a drinking game each time you say so good.
Yeah. Actually, I'll bet people would play that too. I bet by the end of it, it would be like you'd, the so would like stretch out longer, like so.
I was going to say maybe we should record after the game launches, but we might have to wait a couple weeks.
That's true. You never know. I mean,
do we want to take time to record, or do we want to keep playing the game?
Exactly.
I literally am taking 2 vacation days, so I can play. It launches at 9 p.m. my time. I should now get 48 hours of playing in.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, I'm not taking time off from work, but I am going to have anger management. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be pissing a lot of people off, but that's okay. You know, it's all part of the Fallout world is trying to not anger everybody.
Yep.
Can't do it all.
Isn't there a perk about that?
Yeah. It'll be the bloody mess perk at the rate I'm going. So, you know, I mean, I'll do what I can.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and sign off here. But again, thanks for coming on the show. I don't know when we'll record again, but I'm sure we'll talk about Fallout 4.
The show ended a few years ago, I think we're still doing pretty good.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. All right. So I want to thank everyone for listening. If you want to email, send it to ttaftermath@gmail.com. You can check out our Facebook page, which is linked in the show notes. And then there's also links in there to like what Jonathan and I are up to, like Jonathan's Beyond the Aftermath and things like that. So you can check those out and keep in touch because we like to, you know, we like to get emails and read those. And we might not always read them on the air, but... But, you know, somebody's reading them. My secretary is reading them. No, that doesn't happen. So from all of us here at Through the Aftermath, I'm Sean.
And I'm Jonathan, saying,
stay alive out there.
Woohoo!
I don't believe this mod. I used to believe in the mod, but...
You know, I was fine with that till my children started to say that, and then I was like, wait, what?
They're like, we thought it was a fairy tale you told us.
Yeah. There really is no mod, isn't there? I'm like, come on, I have the Grail Diary and everything, come on.
Oh, believe it when I see it.
It'll be a story they'll tell their children one day.
Yeah.